This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon and I are looking at a photograph we've been directed to by Rebecca Grant, the vice president of the Lexington Institute, who will comment on this photograph. We show a room in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, and on the right of my theater, there is Mohammed bin Salman in robes with a smile on his face. And in the center is the president of the United States with a red tie shaking the hands of a former member of Al-Qaeda. His name is Shara, used to be al-Jilani. He's associated with cutthroats from the Idlib province and before that with ISIS itself. However, now he declares himself the president of Syria, and he's shaking hands with the president of the United States in the same room as the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, the heir apparent to the Gulf powers. Rebecca, it's not photoshopped. It's the real thing. Interpret this for us. What a surprise. Good day to you.
What a surprise, and the huge grin by each of these three men. This is Al-Shara, who was once locked up in a U.S. military prison when he was an Al-Qaeda ISIS operative, now spotted the opportunity and the leader of Syria. Trump is grinning, partly because he knows this is a big defeat for Vladimir Putin, who wanted to make Syria a Russian outpost. And finally, Mohammed bin Salman, big grin as well, having facilitated this meeting. So this means that the U.S. and the West are in Syria. This means Russia is out for good. And this means China may be locked out from trying to take over Syria's economy. This is the way forward, and the Arab Gulf states will be very glad to see Syria getting a chance to make good.
Gordon, a Schadenfreude question before you speak with Rebecca. Wang Yi is a foreign minister of the government of the People's Republic of China. He is a man who's very well versed in trash talking. How is he going to respond to this photograph? Is he going to be trash talking the U.S., or is he going to be apologizing to his masters?
I think that he's going to be explaining to his masters that China, which thought that it could dominate the new Syrian state, probably is going to be locked out. And the reason is that Shara doesn't want a long-term Chinese presence. He wants American business there. So I think the Chinese are really upset at this point and probably don't have any answers other than having Iran try to destabilize Syria.
You have a question for Rebecca.
Rebecca, a good friend of mine had an almost four-hour conversation with Shara last week. And it was interesting because Shara said, I want to be Japan and Germany. I don't want to be Iraq and Afghanistan. And what he was referring to is that U.S. business followed the U.S. military into Japan and Germany after the Second World War. But U.S. business did not go into Iraq and Afghanistan this century. So really what Shara is saying is he wants American business. He thinks that will transform his country. Do you think that that will happen, that American business will actually warm up to the new government in Syria and transform the country at the same time keeping the Chinese out?
Under Donald Trump, it could, if Shara can keep stability there. And let's remember that Syria has been in some pretty desperate economic circumstances. They had a big earthquake a couple years ago, still recovering from that. And Shara, I think, has actually said he wants to work with President Donald Trump. And you see it in that photograph. In return, President Trump has said that the U.S. will lift sanctions on Syria. Now, these are mostly tied to Assad and the Assad regime. A lot of it was about individuals in Syria. So look to see a potential opening to see what economic deals can be done here. I think we see that Syria's interests are at the moment meeting up with those of the U.S. to try to rebuild this region economically. Mind you, it took a lot of military power to get there. The U.S. carried out strikes against ISIS camps back in December, and Israel has done a lot of operations in Syria as well. But the conditions are set for a whole new pattern of foreign policy with Syria.
There are many advantages to Shara, and you've touched on them. But what is the advantage to Mohammed bin Salman? How does he gain from this?
Well, remember, the Arab League and others actually tried to give Assad a chance to simmer down and get back into the connection. They have been worried about instability in Syria for a very long time. Of course, this also closes off possibly a lot of Iran's influence in Syria. And bin Salman fulfills part of his goal of raising the stature of Saudi Arabia, of showing himself to be a leader in the region and in the world. You know, bin Salman is only 39 years old. Shara is young as well. We see a new generation of leadership here. And the more that Saudi can have stability and also work well with the U.S. on economic deals and push back Iran, that is creating the type of Middle East where Saudi Arabia can flourish.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Rebecca, if we go back to March 2023, you have China brokering a rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Iran. They recognize each other, really start to work with each other. Then you have last year, July 23, China brokers the Beijing Declaration of 14 Palestinian fronts. It looked for a while that China was going to dominate the Middle East. Now, when you look at yesterday's big to-do in Riyadh, President Trump there playing all sorts of American music. You have bin Salman giving him a standing ovation. It really looks like the Middle East has turned. It's no longer China, and it's now America. Your comments.
Trump has expanded the meaning of national security, and he's added a lot of players to his national security team, namely top U.S. businessmen, so many seen there in the meeting in Saudi Arabia. So here's the deal. If Trump can help these countries build up economically, they want to do AI, they want to do tech, and we want to keep China out. So whether that's the TV shots of Elon Musk there at the meeting, or the real work of the Commerce Department changing its AI diffusion rule to let some advanced AI chips go to countries like Saudi Arabia, that is how we're going to lock China out of the Middle East. I just think China has not been able to bring the type of economic deals that these very savvy businessmen in the Gulf and Middle East region really want.
You touched on the chips and critical, because Huawei's in there pitching its array of chips to match NVIDIA's performance. It tells me that the Middle East doesn't have to choose. It can take both customers. Is that acceptable to us?
Not entirely. And America is in a tech race with China, and getting the Middle East partners into this is a very important thing. What we want is for U.S. companies to be able to sell their advanced chips in that region, not the most advanced chips. But we want to see a U.S. business advantage there. And where we have key security partnerships, we want to keep Huawei out. Helping to build up the choice in Syria, having maybe AT&T go in instead of Huawei, could be an important part of that step.
And finally, 30 seconds. The news is we're going to sell F-35s to Saudi Arabia. Smart or dangerous?
I'd love to see Saudi Arabia get F-35s, possibly also the UAE, who had an F-35 order. Saudi Arabia has a terrific air force. So does the UAE. And remember, the F-35s can be tailored to work with specific partners. We don't have to sell every last secret system along with that jet, but we want military interoperability, common security, defense against cruise missiles, and the F-35 provides all of that.
Rebecca Grant, Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,